Let me begin with a fillable. It might be a slightly offensive fillable. But you know, one of the names of Jesus was the Rock of Offense. And you know what happens whenever lightness shines in dark places and dark doesn't like to be exposed? People get offended. And it's not a bad thing, actually. And what God's doing right now is offending a lot of people deliberately to reveal what's in their hearts. And so, having said that, I want to talk to you about this man who needed a new brain. He had a brain tumor, and technology had got to the place where they were able to replace your brain with a brand new brain, a complete brain transplant. So he goes to the surgeon, the neurosurgeon, and he's inquiring about what brain to get, and the brain surgeon said, well, I have three brains available. Here we have a liberal brain. This one costs $10. Here we have a new age brain. This one's going to cost $10,000. And then we have a Christian brain over here. I'll tell you just now how much this one costs. So he said, well, why is the liberal brain so cheap? He says, well, because the liberal brain lives in denial and deception. You put that brain in you, and you'll be able to go through life completely denying reality and live in glorious deception. You'll allow, and you'll vote for people, for example, who will go and massacre babies, but then you'll go to church and pretend to be a Christian worshiping the one who's creating those babies. You will, with that brain, you'll be able to shame people on the basis of their skin color and then call the very ones that you're shaming racist. With that particular brain, you're going to believe everything the mainstream media says. With that brain, you're going to be easily subjected to tyranny. You're going to walk around in fear because you're going to believe all the lies. That's why it's such a cheap brain, and, you know, that's why it's available, you know. People are like dumping their brains and exchanging them for other ones. But here we have a new age brain. He says this one's $10,000 because this brain's got a lot of potential. This brain believes that a person is God. They focus on the human potential, the human power, the human mind, the human energy, but they don't acknowledge the source, the creator, or the power beyond, and therefore they're not connected to the infinite power. They're just relying on their own energy and their own mind control. And then you have the Christian brain, and I want you to know this brain, it costs $1 million. And so the guy said, well, $1 million? Why is this brain so expensive? And the surgeon said, well, this brain, it's brand new. It's never been used before. Well, I don't know if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's meant to be a bad thing because some Christians are so narrow-minded, they can look through a keyhole with both eyes at the same time. And some other Christians are so narrow-minded that their ears are literally touching together. And we are called to think, we are called to analyze, we are called at this time to understand and discern the times in which we are living. We're not called, like I said before, to be like an ostrich with your heads in the sand, living in complete denial to the reality that's going on all around us. All right, there's your fillable for the day. And nobody left. Wow. All right, John chapter 8. I am talking about my theme, knowing your enemy, because I want you to know how important it is for you to overcome in life. Jesus, verse 42, said to the Pharisees, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and am now here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, For he is a liar and the father of lies. Well, Jesus also said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, talking about the devil, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is not a good person. He is not a good creature. Everything about him is destructive. And he's coming for you. And he's coming for this nation. And he's coming for this world because he hates that which is made in the image of God because he hates God. And if you don't think that you are going to be included in this demonic warfare in which we find ourselves, you're living in utter deception. We are not to live as ostriches with our heads in the sand. We recognize evil around us all the time. It stares us in the face every day. I mean, evil we see in wars throughout history. We talk about Hitler. We talk about Stalin. I mean, Stalin killed 20 million people just to get his power. We talk about greed, and we see corruption in our political situation. We see the abuse of children, murder, perversion. Everything's becoming, is being unveiled and is being revealed. So evil stares everybody in the face, and every religion has to give some kind of response or philosophy as to the existence of evil. And so in the Greek gods, they would have some gods that were good and others that were really bad-tempered. Throw down lightning bolts and thunder from heaven like Thor, and their gods could be in a really bad mood, and their gods were basically made in the image of man. And the same thing with Hindu gods. I mean, you've got some of the Hindu gods are evil and others are good, and they fight each other. And so they have different religions expressing their understanding of this evil. You have some that believe that God is impersonal and is just energy, and therefore you have the yin and the yang, the positive and the negative, equal and opposite energies balancing each other out. You have Christian sects like the Mormons saying that Satan was Jesus' brother. And then you'll have the Scientologists. They'll say that, well, evil is essentially a figment of your imagination. It's an illusion. If you had to ever meet a Scientologist in the road and he had a big boil on his head and you said, my goodness me, you've got a big boil, he's going to say, what boil? In fact, you'll say, what head? Everything is an illusion. And then you'll have the evolutionists who will just deny evil by saying it's actually all part of the advancement of the species, the law of the jungle. It's the strong eradicating the weak. And then you'll have people that will literally worship evil, the Luciferians, the Satan worshippers, who will literally go and sell their souls to the devil and be empowered by him. And I believe that a lot of the globalists and the super powerful rich people in this world are possessed by the devil. As Chuck Colson said, the devil parades himself in a three-piece suit. And it might look all sophisticated to you, but I spoke the last time about the king of Tyre and how Lucifer possessed him and how the enemy goes after the most powerful and influential people in this world to bring an agenda to bring control to the whole world with his ultimate goal to bring everybody into subjection to him. And to create an antichrist world, a one-world government. And this is his goal. This is what we read about in the scriptures. Now, people are really horrified when you talk about this type of thing. And they're horrified when you talk about the fact that people are farming babies or harvesting baby parts. And they think, well, in the old days, in the Bible times, it was, you know, we understand that they were evil and that they did terrible things, like in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, in Ahab's time, heel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of his firstborn son, Abiram. And then he set up the gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub. And this was the ancient practice of Baal worship. Baal was this statue of the devil, and he had his two hands sticking out like two frying pans with a big hole in his belly, and they'd make a fire in the belly, and the whole statue would become like a red hot blazing frying pan. Then they would put the babies on the hands and fry them. And you think, well, that is just wicked. We are much more civilized than that, until you look at the fact that this nation alone has butchered 60 million babies. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam have all given a similar and have a similar understanding of the whole concept of the enemy, that he was a fallen angel, took a third of the angels with him in rebellion, cast to the earth, found in the garden, tempting Adam and Eve, and induced the fall of man's rebellion against God. And as I explained in a previous talk, there's a purpose to all of that. You see, God wasn't taken by surprise. It wasn't some kind of cosmic accident, because Jesus, the Bible says, was slain before the foundation of the world, and that God could quite easily have sent Lucifer and the fallen angels to Mars, but he put them here on this earth. And so our understanding of why did he do that, he has done that because he uses evil, he uses the enemy to awaken, to teach us, to mature us, to perfect us, to help us to overcome evil, to make right choices, to recognize the consequences of wrong choices. And he uses the enemy to sift us, to test what's in our hearts. We find of Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It was the Holy Spirit who led Jesus into a conflict with the devil. Do you think that's not going to happen to you? We read in the book of Job. Job approaches God and gets permission from God to go and harass Job. In fact, God initiated the process. God says to the devil, when the devil appears before him, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth as righteous as him." You think that you're righteous and that's going to enable you to escape the sifting? Jesus said to Peter, "Satan has requested to sift you like wheat. Don't worry, Peter, I've prayed for you. But after you fall and when you return, you'll be able to encourage your brothers." When he returned from that fallen place, he was strengthened. He had grown in spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I don't know, you know, God in all of his wisdom has got a plan that you and I might not fully comprehend. And maybe in future ages, when we're not living in this fallen age, we might better appreciate the purpose of this age. But my theme of this series is to know your enemies so that you might not be outwitted, that you might learn to overcome. Now, I've made it quite clear that we are not to focus on the devil. We're not to focus on Lucifer. We're to focus on God. Hebrews says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith." And so our eyes are ever upward. We look to God by faith. We look to whatever is beautiful. We think about that which is lovely and excellent. We dwell on these things, but we are not living in unaware of the devil's schemes. We are not like those people that think that they're on a luxury liner when they're actually on a battleship. Or when you're on a battleship and you've got your deck chair out and you're just sunbathing. We have been called in this world to overcome the devil in the overcoming power and victory of Christ Jesus. With his power, his strength working in us, we are called to do battle against evil and against that which comes to bring you down, to diminish you, and to reduce you or to steal your inheritance. We are called in this life to overcome that, and in overcoming that, we become stronger and stronger and stronger in the faith. It's like this guy that was employed by somebody, and he was like the skinny little runt of a man, a little bit like me, and he was employed to come and work for this farmer. So the farmer looked at this man and thought, gave him a job to push a rock, and it was a big rock. And all day he sweated in the sun and he pushed against this rock and the rock didn't move. And next day, the same job, for a month, same job. For 3 months, the same job. And after 3 months, he went to the person and said, look, this is the master, he said, this is absolutely pointless. There's nothing that's being achieved by this. I haven't moved the rock 1 inch. And the master said, now look at go and look at yourself in the mirror. And he had turned into an incredibly muscly man, like me. He had, not knowing that the very process of standing and having done everything but stand, the very process of standing and resisting evil, of fighting, even though you might lose a few battles, you get up again and you fight again and you overcome, that very process is the process of bringing you into maturity. It says in Hebrews 5 that even Jesus was perfected and matured by the things that he suffered. And so we need not underestimate how important this theme is. As we focus on the goodness of God and not on evil, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes, because you cannot fight an unknown enemy. You've got to know his strategies and know how to counter. And if you don't know your enemy, you will not overcome in life. You will go round the same old mountain, round and round and round, because the judgments of God are circular and the blessings of God are linear. And God wants to take you from point A to point B. He wants to take you from an encounter through a process to another encounter, through another process to another encounter. And you're going in a direction and you're maturing as you go. But if you don't recognize your enemy, you'll be stuck like the people in the wilderness, going around the wilderness for 40 years, not realizing they were under the judgment of God because they did not walk in faith, but they walked in fear. And we are right now in a season of judgment. And that's possibly why I'm prophetically feeling such a need to be speaking about so-called dark subjects. Now, some of us might think, well, this corruption that we've seen in the government is new. No, what is new is the exposure of the corruption. Amen. For the last year, we have been woken up to all kinds of things that we never knew were there. We didn't know that in 2016 there was election fraud and that the Dominion voting machines were rigged. You didn't know that. This year, we are waking up to all kinds of corruption and all of these people that have been hiding behind the scenes in dark places, the puppet masters are being exposed. Amen. Previously, we were aware of the puppets. We were aware of the Barack Obamas, the Bushes, the Clintons. We were aware of people at that level, the puppets. We weren't aware of the people behind them, the Bilderbergs, the Rothschilds, the Soroses. Some of you might have been aware of Soros, the Faucis of this world. We weren't aware of the royal family and the involvement of these globalists and their agenda with all of their wealth and their power and how they were trying to introduce a darkness into this world. And now we're all waking up. People are waking up left, right, and center, and I praise God for that. We weren't aware that the Rockefellers are in control of most of the education campuses around the country, and that they're in control of most of the hospitals and the CDC, and that the World Health Organization was in China's pocket, or the CIA was controlled primarily by the globalists. And the IRS, we thought, was an American thing, collecting your money, but the money's being given into the Federal Reserve, which we think, because it's got the word federal, it belongs to the United States of America, but it is a central bank owned by the Rothschilds, and all our taxes are being funneled towards these super, super rich people. I'm going to talk about how that came about at some other time, how this country has been incorporated. That's another talk. There's a court case for those of you who are fact checkers. Number HRT 1-202-00427-00008. The United States versus Gates and Fauci and the CDC for war crimes and genocide. 30 years ago, a doctor wrote a book. I didn't get the doctor's name. I could get it for you. But he wrote a book stating that Fauci should face charges of crimes against humanity related to the development of the HIV/AIDS virus. We thought that that was a natural thing that came from monkeys, and yet it's been patented, and you cannot patent something that is biologically natural. You can only patent something that is being created or invented. We didn't know that Fauci's wife is the head of a human subject research and medical ethics at the National Institute of Health. In other words, she's the one who gives a green light for anything that she deems is medically ethical. And her husband is the one that is, whatever he says, she can just put a rubber stamp and declare it medically ethical. All of these things are being exposed. Even yesterday, or was the day before, Fauci himself came out with a thing that masks are absolutely useless. I remember when he was in 60 Minutes and he said they're useless. And then 11 days later at the Congress, he said there's going to be an absolute pandemic, everybody better wear masks. And now he's coming back to, no, masks don't work. Because they don't work. And I've been saying this for all this. If there's somebody with COVID in this place, we're going to get it in the eyes. So unless we all come here and cover our eyes and wear our complete hazard suit, you can fit 10 viruses abreast right through the fibers of a mask. And 10 viruses vertically right through the fibers of a mask. And diagonally, so you can get about 100 going just right through. And yet we're all hiding behind our masks because there's a very sinister agenda to all of that. And so what's happening in our nation and in the world, actually, is there's exposing of darkness, exposing of corruption and deception, greed and selfish ambition, the exposing of immorality and perversion and pedophilia, the butchering of babies and human trafficking, the fake news, the propaganda and the cancel culture, all coming to light. Election fraud. Why would the officials be desperately trying to stop an audit if it was the safest election ever? And the government dominating and subjecting people. Even now, Murphy is saying that people in New Jersey have to carry on wearing masks. Even though Fauci is now saying that they are ineffective. And who is Murphy now all of a sudden a medical expert, that he has that kind of power that he can try and subject the people that are under his authority? He was the very one who sent sent COVID patients into senior centers and frail care centers and spiked the numbers of COVID deaths. I've been asked many times what I think about the vaccine, and so many times, in fact, that I thought, okay, let me just mention it to everybody online and here in this place. Consider the facts and the suppositions of the vaccine. One, they're imposing an experimental vaccine over something that has a 99.7% recovery rate. Doesn't make any sense. I listened to a doctor talking about why doctors are advocating the vaccine, and he says, doctors like every other area of society have been divided into two groups. The one are the policy doctors who are trying to hold on to their jobs, and so they are just going with a policy that's been told to them, and we know that the medical centers are owned by the Rockefellers. And then you have the scientific doctors who are being silenced and who are trying to speak out for truth, and they are paying a price for it. But this doctor was talking about how the other doctors have been harassed and silenced, and he was talking about this vaccine. So where I get this information from is not my own, I'm not a doctor. But I do want you to consider why the same group of people who engineered the COVID-19 are the same people who are producing the vaccine and controlling the media narrative about the vaccine. And it's more sinister than just making money. It's like somebody poisons you and then comes to you with a bowl of soup to offer to help you recover. And apart from the rumors that we hear about that there's chips in there and they're sterilizing the population, etc., which are not entirely unfounded because there's a lawsuit from Africa against the sterilization through the vaccine against Fauci, against Bill Gates, actually. And there's a lawsuit in India, a similar one. But consider that the vaccine is not FDA approved. It is not covered by any term insurance policies. It is deemed an experimental drug. The animals who've been experimented on with this vaccine mostly died because their immune systems were compromised and unable to recognize another vaccine, another virus that they were exposed to. That there's a company in Australia that is producing a drug to counter the effects of the vaccine. That the vaccine is not actually a vaccine, it is a shot, a whole new technology affecting the RNA. And this doctor was explaining about the RNA in the blood being the internal intelligence communication network. Now, we understand it's God's design to help protect us from viruses. But the RNA detects and eliminates foreign objects. It communicates when to attack, how much to attack, and when to stop. But yet God's given us a design within our body, the RNA, to identify a foreign body and to create an antibody. And what the shot is doing is it's fiddling with the design of the RNA, turning it into an mRNA, to specifically helping it to identify the COVID-19, but with no research on how it's compromising its ability thereafter, having been fiddled with, to detect other viruses. This doctor said it causes a clumping of cells called spiked proteins, which is harmful to fetuses and causes miscarriages. It stops the oxygen supply to the placenta. It causes blood clotting and mini strokes, miscarriages. And he gave an example of a breastfeeding woman whose baby died. She had had the vaccine and the baby hadn't. And then there's something called sloughing, which is transmitting spiked proteins, which affects women's menstrual cycles, by people that haven't had the vaccine are being affected by people who have had the vaccine. And this doctor interviewed a parent about their child that had the child got all kinds of blood clots in their toes. The child hadn't had the vaccine, but that happened after the parent had the vaccine. There are thousands of reports of blood clots through these vaccines, and YouTube and Facebook have removed a post of 220,000 complaints of the vaccine. They just removed it because they want to control the narrative. So what do I think about the vaccine? Wait until it's got an FDA approval and then consider having it. And by then, there's not even going to be COVID-19. Now, why I'm talking about all of this is because actually there's a demonic plot in this. Not only an agenda to reduce the world's population, but also to bring people into subjection and control. People are being programmed. Mind control is the globalist's best kept secret, and they're controlling people's minds through the media. It's shocking to hear what people actually believe. I was listening on Fox the other day, and they were talking about the vaccine passport coming, which will be a social credit system. In other words, moving towards a social credit score, and soon it's all going to be fed into a central database where you'll have no more choice. You'll be penalized depending on where you go and worship if you come and listen to people like me. And which is a complete assault on our liberties, where only vaccinated people can travel or attend college and so on. I like what one person was saying sarcastically. Be a guinea pig for the United States. If you're liberal, then vote early and vote often and go and get all three shots, just in case one doesn't work. Now, what has this got to do with the gospel? This has got everything to do with the gospel. Because Jesus came preaching a kingdom of light, and this is darkness. Manipulation and control is all about the dark arts of the dark kingdom. Jesus came preaching the truth, and this is all about lies, getting people to believe lies. Jesus came preaching about justice, and last year was all about exposing corruption. Jesus came preaching about freedom, and this is all about bringing people into subjugation to become subject to ungodly authority. Jesus came preaching about truth, and Fauci, CDC, the World Health Organization, it's all an agenda of deception. Now, let me end off, having shocked some of you, let me end off with something really positive. Now, I told you, I've been asked many times what I think about it, and I've been doing some research, and I think it's important because, I mean, I know some of you might have had the vaccine, and, you know, that was your choice. But some of you are considering having the vaccine. I say, please wait until it's FDA approved. Amen. Now, Jesus rewards those people who overcome in this life. And this is the overcoming of darkness, the overcoming of deception, the recognizing lies for what they are, the walking in truth and the walking in liberty, the guarding that which is valuable and that which is precious, the identifying of that which in your life is limiting and restricting you or robbing you or stealing your inheritance or reducing you or slowing you down or bringing immaturity or bringing addiction and bondage. Whatever it is in your life that is of the dark side, God is calling us to identify these things and to overcome. Overcoming is a beautiful word in the Greek. It's the word nikaio. And I like to think of it as a karate chop. You know, anybody who's done karate is like, nikaio, or something like that. It sounds like that anyway. But what it means, nikaio, means to have victory over the enemy, or to have victory over the enemy in Christ's victory, to triumph over the enemy's schemes and strategies in your life in the power of Christ. That's what it means. And so you literally are partnering with the Holy Spirit to overcome the addictions, to overcome the fears, the failures, the weaknesses, the condemnations, the accusations, the word curses, the fiery darts, and all of the things that the enemy brings into your life to try and reduce you and to limit you and to push you down and to hold you back. 1 John 5, verse 4, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Overcome, nikaio, the world, even our faith. And so everything is done by faith. But listen to these verses of overcoming in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7. To him or her who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. To him who overcomes, I will give the crown of life. To him who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Now, the first death is when we die in this age. The second death is dying in the next age. 2 verse 17. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Manna speaks of bread. It was the bread that they ate in the wilderness. Hidden manna speaks of hidden mysteries in the Word, because Jesus is the Word. He is the bread of life. And that the secret things of God are shared to him or her who overcomes. This is how important it is for you and I to overcome in life. Chapter 2, verse 17. To him who overcomes, I will give a white stone with a new name written on it, known only between you and God, known only to him who receives it. A new name. Now, names in the Bible actually meant something. They weren't just like, my name's Philip, lover of horses, but it was given to me completely irrelevant with regard to whether I was named after the prince that just died. I wish I'd been named after the apostle, but anyway. But in the Bible times, they gave somebody a name that meant something. To him who overcomes will be given a new name known only between you and God. I wonder what that name could be. Faithful one? Faithful servant?
generous one, cheerful one, courageous one. Beautiful one, I don't know, holy one, happy one, apple of my eye. It's going to be a beautiful name for those who overcome, and it's going to be a secret just between you and God that all the other billions of souls in the next age won't even know, but when God calls you, it'll be just that name, and only you and Him will know it. Isn't that awesome? It's to him who overcomes.
The other thing about this white stone was that the Romans used it in their courts. So when they had a court case, the person was acquitted, they were given shown a white stone. If they were condemned, they showed a black stone. To him who overcomes, verse 26, chapter 2, I will give authority over the nations. You want authority? You want authority in your prayers so that your prayers start actually having an impact? You're going to have authority when you overcome in life. To him who overcomes, I will give him the morning star, which is one of the names of Jesus, the bright and morning star. You overcome, and there's this connection between you and Christ. To him who overcomes, we'll all be dressed in white. So next Sunday, everybody's got to come dressed in white, in your pajamas. Speaks about the purity. To him who overcomes, I will never blot out his name from the Lamb's book of life. Oh man, what a terrible verse. To have your name blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. You know, when I was young, which ages me because I'm approaching my 70s now, we used to have a desk with a hole in it, and in there was like an inkwell. And my pen, we would dip the pen into this inkwell, and it had a little split in the air, and it would suck the ink up into it, and then you would write with it. But if you had too much ink, it would come out in a big blot. Yep. And some of you are saying, yep, you remember. Only a few of us.
Used quills.
Oh, you used a quill? Yeah, now you're 200 years old, right, Dan? But, you know, to blot out something is like a big blot. It's like when they unredact something from the feds, and you know, it's they've declassified something, and you see all of these black lines across it, and you can't read anything because it's all been redacted. It's been blotted out. To him who overcomes will never have their name blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Can you see how important it is to overcome in life, not in your own strength, but in the power of the victory of Christ? To him who overcomes, I will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. You're going to arrive and trumpets blow, and it's like you walk in there and Jesus acknowledges you before the Father and the angels. To him who overcomes, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God, and never again will he leave it. Now, I mean, I didn't think that, you know, that'd be very nice to be a pillar. But it's a metaphor, it's not literal. That just shows you can't take everything literally. But what a pillar is in the temple of the God really speaks about the fact that it's an immovable part of the place where there is glory and anointing and power and presence. And to him who overcomes will be like a pillar in the temple, will be living and dwelling in the presence and the anointing and the glory of God. That's how important it is for you to overcome even those little temptations that come into your life so that you can advance in life. Amen.
Amen.
To him who overcomes, verse 21, chapter 3, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne. Let me end with Revelation 21, verse 1 to 7. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, where the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order is passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And we move on then. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. May God help us to recognize how important it is to identify the schemes of the enemy, how he comes against you in your life individually to sift you so that you overcome him, so that you come into the inheritance that God loves to give to those who overcome. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me? The worship team come to the front.